You may notice that your order of worship this morning says that Sean Van Gessel will be speaking now. Sean is on his own blue boat right now. Well, I don't know if it's blue, but he's in a regatta. So today the part of Sean Van Gessel will be lovingly played by his mother, Robin Van Gessel.
Sorry, I just... my iPad is not being dependable. Hang on. Okay. It's easy. You can easily do this, and you can easily do that. How many times have you heard that phrase? I like to look at it another way. It's simple. Because believe me, when I tell you that simply having shorter showers to save water is not easy. It's simply simple. Another example of this is avoiding plastic. Even though it is so simple, and there are many alternatives, and it would be faced by not very aggressive consequences, the fact is, we still do it. Why? Because it's not easy, it's simple. Whatever the reason may be it habit or even human acceptance, because let's face it, the more you or someone else does something, the more acceptable it becomes. The problem is that we're humans. We have our flaws, and we can't always control that. I'm speaking here today because I believe we can always improve and be aware. Let's create our own goals and promises and keep them. Remember that we are humans and we can always find a way. I was asked to contribute some small things in the big picture that make a big difference. Well, I try to do many things, including I pick up garbage I find if I'm on a hike. I throw trash in the garbage if it's lying beside the garbage can. I avoid disposable water bottles at any cost. I practice photography to try to raise awareness of the beautiful earth that we just coincidentally have. I have my own vegetable garden that I use to give us food all year round, and I use both sides of the piece of paper. Now this, I brought a chive from his garden, and I just wanted to say, I actually wanted to tell the kids this, but they look pretty involved in their pictures. But when he was three, we lived in a house that had chives, and he would just get up in the middle of something and go out to the garden to eat a chive. He just loved the fact that you could do that. So it's kind of nice that when he started growing vegetables, that's one of the first things he planted. The thing is that these small things only matter if many people do them. Maybe the thing that most people know me for is my chickens. I keep 7 chickens on my urban lot, and even though it may not be the most efficient or simple practice, I still enjoy it. And at the same time, I know where my food comes from, and at the same time, it helps the earth at the same time. How can I go wrong? I know that going out of the way from your regular is hard. You just need to remember why you're doing what you're doing. Now, I'll admit, I slip up. We all slip up, but that doesn't mean we can't slowly change and create a sustainable earth. And remember that if everyone does a small change, it will make an observable change.
And you'll notice in your order of worship that there are responses to each of these stories that you will hear. So you just heard Sean's account, and you have some words by Mother Teresa to share all together, because I think it's fitting from Sean's message to us. So if you would join me in saying the words of Mother Teresa. Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. Now in Sean's story, you'll notice that this morning we have this box up front. Well, you guys maybe can't notice it at all, but there is a box up here. It looks a little bit like a treasure chest. And we're calling, Teo agrees, and we're calling it our wonder box because we thought that the kids might wonder what was inside it. And in order to tell my story, I put a few things in the wonder box. And my story actually picks up on something that Sean talked about in his story, which is a story about my mother and my mother, the ways in which she embarrassed me as a child. Now, my mother will be here next month, so it's dangerous for me to talk about her, since I know she will be here soon. But when I was growing up, whenever I went out anywhere with my mother, I played soccer, I would go with her to restaurants, and we would go out to eat and things, because my mom was a single mom, so it was just me and my mom, and we were kind of attached at the hip most of the time. She would always have, like, a bag with her, and she would always pick up, if there was trash on the ground somewhere, right, anywhere, she would always pick it up. It was like, she just couldn't stop herself. Trash anywhere around her, anywhere within like a mile radius of my mother, was picked up and taken home with her so that she could either throw it away or clean it to recycle it or do what she needed to do to take care of it. So to this day, if you see my mother's car, it's kind of a mess. I mean, she's a lovely, lovely lady, but her car is kind of a disaster. And the reason it's kind of a disaster is because the entire trunk of her car, the entire back part of her car, is full of bags with recycled, a box for recycled newspapers, and then there's a paper bag where she puts all of her plastic recycling things she finds, and then there's another bag for all the trash stuff that she can't do any kind of recycling with. It's just there. And when I was a kid, I was like, oh my gosh. Shit, her hands are dirty because she's picking up all this stuff, and she's always carrying a bag. People, I don't know what they're going to be thinking about us. Who's this whack Petey who's Shauna's mom? She's always got trash with her. What's going on with this lady? But then, you know what? Yeah, wacky, exactly. But now, as her daughter, you know what happened to me? I do the same thing. I go to a restaurant, and if I get something that's like a paper cup, I go, well, let's just put it in our bag and take it home so we can clean it up and recycle it. I can't throw that out. That's awful. They'll just throw it into a big trash can, and they won't. And we have compost at home now. Let's take it into the greener garbage and sandwich. Let's take it home. And my family, I don't know, do I embarrass you, Athena, when I carry all these things around? No, she says no. Ask her again in a couple of years. It'll be a yes. She's only 8, so right now it's not a bit. But, well, when she, and bugs are wacky too, I know. So now, when you know, people tell you sometimes you kind of turn into your parents, or there's some things that you end up doing sort of like things that your parents do. I am my mother in this way. Now I collect things. And it's not, like Sean said, it's not a big deal. It's not a big thing to pick up all the trash and all the things that you could recycle. But it's a much better thing than just leaving it all there, isn't it? And I figure the little things that we do can matter because it adds up. I figure all those little things my mom's picked up in her lifetime, it's got to have mattered over time, right? She's getting close to 70. Oh, I shouldn't have said that out loud. And that's a lot of picking up garbage. That's a lot of picking up garbage and recycling. And so I figure if I do it for as long as I live, it might make a difference too. I'm going to close this back up. So can you share with me the reading that's in here, the Bruce Barton words to close my story? Sometimes when I consider what tremendous consequences come from little things, I am tempted to think there are no limits.
So I've had to develop strategies, of course, to cope with worry like we all do. And one of them that I think is a good strategy is to breathe deeply. Or to find other ways of relaxing. You know, maybe go watch a movie and just kind of forget about it. And then, of course, there is my most, well, no. I'll just say, another thing I sometimes do is eat salty chips. One of my big worries now, though, is about, well, not necessarily those salty chips, but about food security in this time of climate change. How are we going to keep feeding the world with changing climate patterns? And I talk often with my good friend Robin Tunnicliffe. Some of you know her. She's visited the church a number of times. She's a local organic farmer, and she can relate strongly to this worry. And she can also relate to eating salty chips. But she also told me a story. A story about a woman named Dit Dit Pellegrina. Can you guys say her name for me? Dit Dit Pellegrina. You can probably guess she's not from around here. Robin met her because both of them are members of the USC Board of Directors. Robin's a farmer from here. Dit Dit Pellegrina is a rice researcher with the International Rice Research Institute and she's from the Philippines. Now, Ditdit loves the Philippines. It's her home. It's a hot, tropical country. It's composed of thousands of islands, so it's got lots and lots of low-lying waterfront. And the Philippines imports most of its food. So Ditdit says that it's like a canary in the coal mine in terms of climate change, and she's worried. But even so, she's given me hope. I need to look at my notes now for her story part. So unlike here, it's the poor people who live in the oceanfront in the Philippines. The wealthy people, or people with a bit of money anyway, buy property inland so that they're sheltered from the big storms. I think everybody is aware of the huge typhoon that hit last fall. Typhoon is a great, huge wind, like a hurricane. And even with smaller winds, smaller storms, seawater gets blown up onto the shore. So it gets blown up onto the farmers' fields. Not a tsunami, because a tsunami is from an earthquake, but wind can carry water ashore too. So one of the very important crops to those farmers along the coast is something I have in the Wonder Box here. Rice. This is seeds, not masks. And rice is a major staple all around the world. So there are a lot of rules and regulations for rice growers. Any new variety of rice has to be formally registered before it can be sold. This costs a lot of money. So, of course, those poor farmers, if they develop a new variety of rice, they can't afford to register it. And when a variety of rice isn't registered, it's illegal to sell it or even to trade the seeds with other farmers. The Philippines created that law because without it, they wouldn't be able to sell their rice to other countries. When Ditdit first started working with the very poor farmers more than 10 years ago, they were already noticing changes in the climate. They were aware of sea level rise, and that was the first time that the storms really came with frequency onto their fields. And when the salt water came onto the field, what do you think happened to the plants? They died. Most of them. But there were always one or two that survived. And the farmers noticed this. And so they saved the seeds from those plants, and they planted those seeds the next year. And then, what do you think happened? That's right. More plants survived the next year. And so they kept on doing that. They'd save the seeds of the plants that survived those saltwater storms, the saltwater being washed ashore. They were developing a new, resilient form of rice. But soon enough, they found out they couldn't give it to other farmers. They couldn't trade it or sell it to other farmers. And, well, because of these rules made by because of a big, complicated situation with agriculture. But Ditdit got to work. She went to, with her team of farmers, she went to all levels of government, and she explained over and again that allowing the farmers to breed rice that would grow in salt water was important and necessary. It was the way for Philippines to keep producing food in the wake of climate change. And she was so persuasive that the government relented. And after that, because of Ditdit and her dedicated team, the farmers could sell their rice as seed. And those seeds are now not just being used in the Philippines. There are farmers in parts of Africa that have coastal areas growing rice. That's right. It's a great thing. They're benefiting from that special variety of rice. And this is a really huge victory at a time when seeds are so controlled. So her story, as I said, inspired me, and it reminds me of farmers all around the world. And so now we need to look in the Wonder Box again, just for some quick reminders of other farmers that I think you all know a little bit about. Here, Jenny, will you hold these up, this up? These are other farmers who are growing food in a sustainable way. Lots of us buy this fair trade coffee in the church office. If you don't know about it, you might want to visit. Something else that her story reminds me of is local farmers. Well, you want to hold this one up? Then?
Local.
Yeah, do you want to stand up? Will you hold that up? So we can all support our local farmers and enjoy delicious produce that hasn't traveled so far. It also reminds me, Jonas, will you hold this one up? That I can, when I want to grow something, I can purchase seeds that are saved locally. That means they're adapted well to our climate. And again, we avoid those multinational corporations that are controlling many other seeds. I can even save my own seeds. And if anybody wants parsnip seeds, let me know. And I like that. I like avoiding those big seed corporations that also produce a lot of the pesticides that are used in the world. And then, of course, the last thing that her story reminds me of, who's ready to hold something up for me? Amelia, will you? Oh, this is perfect because Amelia has a t-shirt just like this because last fall she went on the USC Fun Run. It's happening again this coming fall. It's an opportunity to raise funds, but just as important to raise awareness about sustainable farmers all around the world who are working in a challenging agriculture environment to try and keep growing food for all of us. What do you think, guys? Is this a little bit better than eating salty chips? I think so, too. It's a story like this that fills me with hope. Thank you. And let's read our... If anybody wants kale, you can let me know, too.
Close with the words that are in your order of service. There is no beauty like the beauty of action.
And now, would you all please hold your hands out, palm up, and show your hands to your neighbors. Your neighbors in front of you, beside you, behind you. In silence, if you can, and with respect, please take a moment to truly look at each hand. Notice the size, the shape, the nails. Turn your hands over. Just take a moment to look at hands. Young hands, old hands. Small, large, marked with work and wisdom, or soft and eager to experience the world. These are the hands of our community. Dear community of friends, please bless the hands that you see before you this day. These are the hands that will join with you in worship. These are the hands that will join with you in service. These are the hands that will guide your children and help your spirit grow. These are the hands that will celebrate with you in delight. These are the hands that will comfort you when you are sick and console you when you are grieving. These are the hands that will grow up and grow old among you. These are the hands that will reach out first to one another and then, united, will spread their love to all they touch. These hands are the hope of a peaceful and loving humanity. These are the hands that will change the world. Spirit of life and of love, help these hands to continue building relationships founded in grace, rich in caring, and devoted to honorable deeds. May we all use our hands to nurture, protect, and shelter our family, our community, and our world. May it ever be so.